I'm author and athlete Brad Kearns. Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life. Visit bradkearns.com for great resources on healthy eating, exercise, and lifestyle. And here we go with the show. In this six-month experiment, I've consumed significantly more calories than my historical pattern, which was characterized by not eating much until midday. I weigh the same and perhaps have even improved my body composition with more muscle mass and reduction in body fat from previous years. In terms of like that being my go-to treat, there's only so much dark chocolate you can enjoy. And so my intake is reasonable and somewhat regulated or restrained by the fact that that's my single favorite treat, and I don't have seven other types of indulgences, if you will, that are in my daily diet. I've just kind of shut out any intake of processed foods or sweets or treats in favor of dark chocolate. If you tell me it's healthy, I'll eat it, I'll grow to like it, and if you tell me it's not healthy for me, I will eliminate it tomorrow and never eat it again and not cry any tears. Hey ladies! You may have heard me talk about Gainswave treatment for improving male penile vascular health and sexual function, and maybe you thought, hey, what about my needs? Well, Gainswave has got you covered with a revolutionary new treatment protocol called Gainswave for Her. As with the male Gainswave treatment, a skilled practitioner uses a handheld device to send low-intensity shock waves into your vaginal area to stimulate a healing response, promote increased blood circulation, and the growth of new blood vessels. After a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results with Gainswave reporting an 80% success rate. Some benefits. You will revitalize your intimate relationships with heightened sensation and arousal and enhanced pleasure and satisfaction. Don't contemplate invasive procedures or uncomfortable medical treatments. Regain confidence and reclaim your sexuality with Gainswave for Her. You visit the website gainswave.com, GAINSWAVE.com/Brad, to find a practitioner in your area. You complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, so please visit gainswave.com/Brad to find a practitioner in your area and take advantage of my special promo that you'll mention when you find your local practitioner. Buy six treatments and get one free. Okay, I had a few questions come in asking me about what my daily dietary pattern looks like. And of course, in 2022, some big changes have happened in my philosophy, my critical thinking, and my second guessing some of the foundational elements of the ancestral health movement. And accordingly, embarking on an experiment to modify my longtime dietary practices, such as fasting throughout the morning hours and watching my caloric intake in the back of my mind to maintain healthy body composition. And now some of those things have been called into question, and I'm playing around with different strategies. Consuming more daily calories and seeing what happens. And so far, nothing's happened except good. I haven't added a bunch of body fat, and you're going to learn why in more detail in this show dedicated to what does Brad eat in a day. So here in late 2022 is a good time to publish the show because I launched a big experiment. So we'll start the story back in May when I launched my experiment to consume more carbohydrates, more calories in total, and forget about the fasting periods and the compressed eating windows, and basically consume calories from soon after I wake up, as soon as I finish my 40-minute morning exercise routine, actually, and or a workout on the heels of that. So I start eating as soon as I can, but I'm not sitting down to consume calories before I launch into the morning exercise session, and a lot of times I'll piggyback a workout onto the morning exercise routine. So But I will start grabbing some dried fruit before I begin the morning exercise routine. So I'm going to start from the moment I wake up. I very soon hit the deck and commence the session that you can learn all about on the online course. But I am reaching for some dried fruit that's inspired by the shows with Jay Feldman, where consuming some carbs first thing in the morning will turn down that stress hormone response, which is widely regarded as a desirable way to wake up in the morning. We get that natural and desirable spike in cortisol and serotonin, the drop in adenosine, so we feel alert and energized. But again, the argument that these are stress mechanisms and that you can fuel yourself with something that's easy to digest right away and maybe diminish the need for that cortisol spike and preserve that for the upcoming exercise session makes sense to me. No big deal either way, so I'm no longer scared of sliding a few dried mangoes in while I'm driving my dog over to the park to begin the morning exercise session or heading to the backyard to begin. So that's the first thing that happens. And then I have the 40-minute routine, possibly an add-on workout after that. And usually I'm doing something after that, even if it's not a big formal training session at the track. I'll go and do some extra deadlifts in the backyard or stretch cords or jogging down the street at a slow pace, which I've added back to my overall training program to put more time on my feet and better condition myself for the sprint workouts. Not that I'm training for endurance goals anymore, but I'll run 1 to 2 miles most every day, believing that it'll help me perform and recover in my high-intensity sprint session. So when I finish that usually an hour or an hour plus of exercise, then I will go and hit the now world-famous, because I keep talking about it, the huge bowl of fresh fruit and the giant whey protein super fuel smoothie that can appropriately be called a high-carb, high-protein, high-fat smoothie. And so that's a pretty big dose of nutrition first thing in the morning. So I'm not often stacking that with a proper breakfast like omelets or cooking up eggs or something else. But sometimes, believe it or not, especially if I've done something really strenuous, I will do the fruit and protein reliably. And then soon after, maybe it's 20 minutes, maybe it's an hour, maybe it's right away, I will prepare a delicious, nutritious breakfast, which usually centerpiece would be eggs with avocado and corn tortillas. But let's go back to the bowl of fresh fruit. Scott and other listeners, we're going back and forth with our new fascination, new hobby. He says, what kind of fruit? Have you tried these amazing California mangoes? Yeah, man, I'm going for a lot of tropical fruit and fresh berries, pineapples. And so this is definitely a flip-flop from all the commentary in years of books where we generally projected this message that you want to take it easy on fruit a little bit. You know, it's got a lot of sugar. It can be contributing to storing excess body fat. And of course, the vegetables and the wonderful, abundant, colorful nutrients that are found in your salad or in your green smoothie, we touted those a great deal over the years. And so now, yes, I stand here with a change of heart. And so I am big time thumbs up on the fruit and have really backed off my vegetable consumption inspired by the carnivore leaders like Dr. Sean Baker, Dr. Paul Saladino. Not that I would contend or put myself in the category of high plant sensitivity, but I would say I have mild sensitivity that can get severe when I do stuff like my previously mentioned green smoothie experiment from years past. This is probably 3 years ago now, where I was on this kick inspired by Dr. Rhonda Patrick's viral YouTube video and the amazing concentration of nutrition that you can get when you throw previously frozen kale, spinach, carrots, beets, celery into the blender and blend it up and have this wonderful morning green smoothie. But I also got a huge dose of plant toxins in raw form, which is the most severe in terms of sensitivity. And I would reliably experience a bloated abdomen for many hours after this morning green smoothie. Fortunately, I was only dedicated to this experiment for, maybe 6 months or maybe longer on and off. But I started to reflect a little bit on how could something like this be truly healthy when it's causing me such immediate and acute digestive distress? So if you want to test for your own sensitivity to plant toxins, that's a great way to just pile in huge piles of produce in raw form and see if you can handle it. So I've had a change of heart about the urgent need to have vegetables and produce be the centerpiece of your diet, because by comparison, the animal foods, especially the animal superstar foods at the top of the ranking, provide much more nutrition than even the super duper kale smoothies and almond spinach salad and things like that, the stir fries that I used to make many days, you know, giant piles of produce, and at least I would cook them up. So those were much easier to digest than my raw smoothie. But I'm now contending that vegetables have gone by the wayside for the most part. But I'm, you know, really big bullish on fruit, especially in the morning, especially after my 40-minute or one-hour exercise session. And that's probably an important point, especially when we have a lot of counter arguments to what I'm talking about here, is that, as Liver King likes to say, I earned my carbs and I earn them every single day because my first hour of every day is pretty strenuous and I'm burning a significant amount of calories. And so, hey, the big bowl of fruit right after really works well for me. And then I'll talk about my wonderful protein smoothie, which I also believe has been a huge catalyst for a number of benefits, including the ability to drop that excess body fat that I've talked about on previous shows and effortlessly maintain my ideal body composition down here at 163, 164 pounds, which to me is important because I feel good, but also because of my competitive goals, which happen to be the high jump, and extra weight does not really help. In fact, when you look at the world-class high jumpers, they too weigh 163, 164 pounds, but they're like 6'3", and so forth. So I'm doing the best I can, people, but I feel like this is a healthy weight. And even though in this six-month experiment, I've consumed significantly more calories than my historical pattern, which was characterized by not eating much until midday, I weigh the same. And perhaps have even improved my body composition with more muscle mass and reduction in body fat from previous years. So I'm going to contend that my morning exercise routine and increasing that and increasing the degree of difficulty combined with this nice start to the day where I'm getting maximum and optimal cellular nourishment sets my appetite and satiety hormones very nicely, because when I finish the fruit and the smoothie, I am very satisfied, and for many hours afterward, I don't worry about a snacking or taking these departures that we often lament when we're trying things like extended fasting, and oftentimes this stuff will kind of become exposed, let's say late in the evening when you're reaching for that pint of ice cream. And not to pick on anyone who likes to go reach for a pint of ice cream, but if you unwind that story a bit, we might discover areas, needs to improve areas such as perhaps not consuming enough protein over the course of the day and feeling a little depleted and burnt out. And our brain does not like to feel depleted and burnt out. So we will experience strong cravings for quick energy, nutrient deficient food at those times when we're a little bit fried. So front loading, in a sense, your nutritional needs in the morning has been a winning strategy for me. I've talked a long time and many books, podcasts about the wonderful benefits of fasting, where you get that anti-inflammatory response, you get that immune boosting response, you get the autophagy, the cellular repair. And for many people who are caught in the throes of an overly stressful, insufficiently active and excess processed food consumption lifestyle, boy, fasting can be a real life-changing practice because it's keeping you away from adverse dietary habits such as the great all-American breakfast that you see at the hotel buffet or in the typical cultural traditions that we've had for so long with your oatmeal and your pancakes and your French toast and your muffins and your orange juice and this huge load of largely nutrient deficient processed carbohydrates that set you up for trouble and a roller coaster day of cravings and mood swings, energy level swings, declines in cognitive function because you dosed yourself with nutrient deficient foods that inhibit cellular energy production first thing in the morning. So when I talk about fruit and the ingredients in my smoothie, I'm talking about very nutritious agents that are not difficult to digest and that nourish my cells efficiently without any bloating of the abdomen and all those side effects that I experience from consuming a lot of plant toxins, albeit widely regarded as healthy when I describe that smoothie with the beets and the celery and the carrots and the spinach and the kale. Whoop-dee-doo. Not going to be as winning as something that doesn't cause those problems and still provides excellent nutrition. So as far as the smoothie, you can look on the website at the BRAD Whey Protein Superfuel, and we have a link to a number of interesting, delicious, creative smoothie recipes that you can try with the whey protein at the centerpiece. But essentially what I'm putting in there is bone broth is my starting point, my liquid base. And no, it does not adversely impact the taste of the smoothie. And I just find it a great way to get my daily dose of bone broth assuredly. So it's just cold bone broth, and that goes in as liquid. I'm putting in frozen chunks of liver, so pre-frozen grass-fed liver, which is giving me nutritious source of fats, the bone broth and the liver. I'm putting in a sufficient amount of frozen fruit on top of all the fresh fruit that I ate. I'm always putting in frozen bananas, and then I'll often include frozen strawberries or frozen tropical fruit like mangoes, buying those in bags ready-made at places like Trader Joe's. So I have all these ingredients ready. And another great feature of the fruit and the smoothie bomber in the morning is it doesn't take a lot of time to knock this out and get this great dose of nutrition. So I'm not slaving over the stove because I know a lot of us are pressed for time in the morning, but you can certainly wash up some berries, throw them in a bowl, get your pineapples, your mangoes, your papayas. And I like to spend the time in the kitchen getting the fresh fruit and slicing it up. And it does take a long time, but I sort of enjoy it. And I feel really connected to healthy eating when I'm preparing the food from scratch. But sometimes it's tempting to buy the pre-sliced stuff, especially when, let's say you're traveling or you don't have that time to devote. You spend a little bit more and you get your pineapple all sliced up. And yes, those guys do a better job than I do keeping the pulp out of there and stuff like that. So whatever you can do to get that fresh fruit in, not a time-consuming effort in the morning. And same with the smoothie when the ingredients are all ready. And I actually store my smoothie ingredients in a shopping bag and carry it into the kitchen every day because there's so many of them. I just want to keep them in one place. We don't have the shelf space, so it's just like, here comes the delivery boy, and he's got time to make the smoothie. So I have the bone broth, I have the liver chunks, I have the frozen fruit, and then I have 2 to 3 scoops of the whey protein superfuel. My slogan on the bag says, a scoop a day is the way. Hey, but I know I pay less than you for the product, but this is the very best source of grass-fed whey protein isolate that you will find anywhere in the world. It comes direct from cattle grazing on small family farms in Wisconsin. And the product is so fresh and pure that it is considered a food-grade product as opposed to a supplement with a supplement containing a bunch of extra ingredients. And this whey is made in a single day by artisan cheesemakers, generational family businesses, because when you make cheese fresh, whey happens to be a byproduct. They used to actually throw the whey in the garbage, discard it, until scientists realized, I think this is 100 years ago or something, that it was a really great source of protein. In fact, the single best source of protein by far in the supplement world. So I have this great source of whey protein, and I'm certainly not concerned with consuming too much protein in a day. And the great leaders that you can hear from, like Dr. Peter Attia, Dr. Andrew Huberman, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, and their respective podcasts are talking about how important it is for health, vitality, longevity, appetite control, weight control, to get sufficient protein every day. I should mention Dr. Ted Naiman in there too, in his great book that he wrote with William Shufelt called The PE Diet. That's protein to energy ratio. And the argument there, the protein lever theory, or the PE ratio idea, is that we have strongly wired appetite mechanisms that will drive us to consume sufficient protein, and we will consume calories until we get this deeply wired need for protein met. So if you have a lot of potato chips and ice cream in your diet, which are respectively infinitesimal amounts of protein, you're going to be wanting to consume the entire pint, and it's a futile attempt to get your protein needs met from that deepest biological drive, that hardwiring through processed foods that your brain does not know is not going to be the way to do it. So again, if you front load with, in my case, 2 to 3 scoops of protein, so I'm talking about up to 50 grams if I'm doing 3 scoops, I also have the creatine in there as well, I feel like that's, you know, a strong vote in favor of my performance, my recovery, and my maintenance of lean muscle mass throughout life. Hey man, how's your sexual function? Oh, uncomfortable talking about it? Look, we talk about our injured knees, our belly fat, so it's time to get focused on function. I want to tell you about Gainswave. This is a cutting-edge protocol where a handheld device sends low-intensity shock waves into your penile blood vessels to stimulate a healing response and promote increased blood circulation and the growth of new blood vessels. A skilled practitioner puts the Gainswave magic wand onto your magic wand, and after a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results. Gainswave reports an 80% success rate. Now, we know that popping pills is a popular penile protocol, but when you're working with clogged pipes, you just get a temporary band-aid effect when you take prescription drugs. Gainswave addresses the cause of age-related decline by stimulating growth factors and activating dormant stem cells. Translation: stronger, harder, more sustainable erections. I learned about Gainswave from my podcast guest, Dr. Judson Brandeis at the Brandeis MD Clinic in Northern California, and there's a robust network of Gainswave providers that you can find on their website near you. Complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, and while it's great for ED, Gainswave is for any man that wants to combat the effects of aging and get a little boost for your A-game. So please visit gainswave.com/Brad. That's gainswave.com/BRAD to find a practitioner in your area, and you can take advantage of my special promotion. Buy 6 treatments and get one free. You have nothing to lose and lots to gain from gainswave.com/Brad. What else goes in there? Probably 18 to 24 ancestral supplement capsules. So the MOFO product, male optimization formula with organs, at least 6 capsules a day of those. And then I'm often including other of my favorites, things like blood vitality, prostate, beef organs, beef liver, and the many other great supplements, and it'll help increase your intake of organ foods when you're not out there devotedly slicing up heart and having that for lunch and making sure that you get ample intake. So I have the frozen liver chunks as well as what's in the supplement capsule, so I'm getting some good nutrition in the form of organs. I'll put some glutamine in there, which is good for gut health. And then at any one time, I'm experimenting with maybe another half dozen different supplements. And so that will all go into the blender so that I don't have to painstakingly take the capsules one by one. Maybe I'll add some cinnamon for flavor because the liver can make it pretty strong. But with a sufficient amount of fruit and things like cinnamon, you're going to get a pleasant tasting smoothie. Sometimes I put coconut flakes in there for a little more texture. And if I have some good pastured eggs, especially fresh from local farms, I'll put 3 egg yolks in there and get additional nutritional benefits. I told you it was a super fuel smoothie. So that is my morning. And then as the hours go on and I'm getting into the busy day at work, guess what's nearby? That's right, dark chocolate. And I am one of the world's foremost connoisseurs. I love this stuff. And so I will be nibbling on those squares throughout the day. And of course, we're not supposed to snack and all these good things. But, you know, I just find myself enjoying a square here and there. And I feel like it has good nutritional benefits. I don't have a problem digesting dark chocolate, although Paul Saladino might scold me because chocolate's in that category. The cacao bean could have potential issues, but there's so many nutritional benefits. I've talked about at length on my shows devoted to dark chocolate with guests like Terea Rodriguez and also Sean Eskenazi. So, boy, in terms of like that being my go-to treat, there's only so much dark chocolate you can enjoy. And so my intake is reasonable and somewhat regulated or restrained by the fact that that's my single favorite treat. And I don't have seven other types of indulgences, if you will, that are in my daily diet. I've just kind of shut out any intake of processed foods or sweets or treats in favor of dark chocolate. So that keeps me honest there with the potential consumption of nutrient-deficient processed foods that would count in the sweet category. But definitely open season on the dark chocolate. So that would take us to midday, or at some point I will make the effort to prepare a proper meal. And whether we call it lunch or dinner, it usually involves the same go-to favorite foods, and a lot of that can be found in my butcher box shipment every month. I'm now also ordering from wildideabuffalo.com because the red meat being at the top ranking, and then the less mass-produced types of red meat, like lamb and buffalo, could possibly arguably be ranked as the very best food that you can eat in the world. They taste fantastic. ButcherBox now offers ground bison as well, so I'm getting in a lot of steak, a lot of ground beef. Typically, I'll cook this stuff in the cast iron skillet, and then I'll sometimes throw on a couple of small baby corn tortillas, buttered up nicely so they get a little crisp, and then I'll cut the steak or put the ground beef into the corn tortilla. And of course, the corn tortilla is not a nutrient-dense centerpiece of my diet, but it helps me enjoy the meal a little more. A lot of times I'll slice some avocado on top of that, so I have these little miniature tacos, if you would call them. And I also enjoy putting on some of the exotic hot sauces. We found one at a Seattle farmer's market that the ingredient list was amazing. It had like orange juice, jalapeno pepper, a bunch of other interesting things. And it kind of has this a little bit sweet orange taste, kind of like Cholula sauce is another popular brand. And so that will go on there too sometimes. And that would be a typical lunch or dinner centerpiece. And also around the dinner time, I'm going to go and make a concerted effort to add some more carbs, usually in the form of sweet potatoes or extra fruit into the evening, perhaps as an after-dinner enjoyment. So I'm eating a lot of the nice bright orange traditional sweet potato. And then when I can find them, the purple sweet potatoes are another new favorite. And inspired by Jay Feldman, he wants you to discard the skin because the small amount of plant toxins that are contained in those root vegetables are concentrated in the skin. I used to love the skin, so now I eat it with no skin, and that would be steak and sweet potato would be a typical dinner. So indeed, inspired by Dr. Paul Saladino wanting us to emphasize red meat because the ruminant animals, like the lamb, like the bison, like the cow, do a better job processing their the feed that's included in their diet if they're not 100% grass-fed, which is pretty rare and expensive. So let's say that I'm getting grass-fed and grain-finished animals, then they are going to deliver a superior end product in terms of nutrient density, nutrient profile, as well as a lower of undesirable polyunsaturated fatty acids in the final product in the tissue that we're consuming in comparison to a chicken or a pig, which are monogastric animals, single-stomach animals like the human. And so when we give a chicken or a pig the typical corn or soy feed that they're raised on, they deliver an end product that has an inferior fatty acid profile with increased levels of polyunsaturated fatty acids due to their unnatural diet and their difficulty processing it in comparison to the ruminant animal, the red meat. So that's a big vote in favor of red meat, unless you can source a premium and pristine quality chicken or pig food. And I had a great guest on the show, Tyler Dolly from Big Bluff Ranch, where they raise sustainable and regenerative farm chickens. And so these chickens are afforded their wonderful natural diet. It is supplemented with feed, but they are avoiding the corn and soy feed and giving them more natural product. And so when you get a sustainably raised chicken or pig, you can alleviate some of those objections. But for now, exposed to this refined information, you know, I enjoy bacon and I would often have that with an egg meal, but not from a conventionally raised pork, because what you're getting there is mostly fat, right, with the bacon. That animal could be giving you a fatty acid profile that's not optimal and vastly inferior to, let's say, a nose-to-tail strategy of emphasizing red meat and getting your liver, your heart, your kidney, and other organs into the mix. And especially when I say bone broth as the base of my smoothie, I'm talking about the ultra-high-quality bone broth that comes at a radically different price point than the stuff that's labeled beef broth or chicken broth in the cardboard boxes that you see at the grocery store for $2. So this is a authentic bone broth, and the way you can tell is that it should be gelatinous when it's refrigerated. So that's what's going in the base of my smoothie, and doing the best I can to emphasize red meat at those meals. And that means, as I talked about with the chicken and pig taking a back seat to red meat, and also I find myself consuming less fish, although I'm a big fan of wild-caught salmon. Again, with some good content from Saladino talking about how a lot of the fish are becoming more and more objectionable due to scarcity, due to adverse fishing practices that affect the environment adversely, and then finally due to concerns about toxins as the oceans become more polluted. And of course, the farm fish, especially the most popular stuff like Atlantic salmon and things like shrimp, there's some good argument that you really want to stay away from that stuff because it's just too heavily processed and the fish are fed this pellet food that contains hormones, pesticides, antibiotics to keep them healthy in cramped, unsanitary conditions. And yeah, the salmon melts in your mouth and tastes great at the restaurant, but it's not going to score highly on the Carnivore Scores food rankings chart. So it's really simplifying, focusing in, and picking foods that I enjoy. I'm trying to enjoy my life too, but I'm also putting in a vote here to not be constantly entertained and dazzled by a succession of exotic meals with this food or that food that might not be of high health standard, but tastes great. And I think that's something that we all deserve to wake up to here in everyday life as we destroy our health with the routine consumption of great cultural centerpiece foods like the apple pie has to come at the holidays, or the big stack of pancakes has to come on Sunday morning. And I think we can rethink a lot of these traditions and extricate the fun and excitement of having a family brunch with the need to consume nutrient-deficient processed calories. So with my diet, I don't know if you want to join me in this quest or not, but if you tell me it's healthy, I'll eat it, I'll grow to like it. And if you tell me it's not healthy for me, I will eliminate it tomorrow and never eat it again and not cry any tears. And I'm thinking of an epic conversation I had with one of my neighbors a long time ago where she stopped me and we had a really authentic and vulnerable conversation where she was complaining about her weight gain and her frustrations with signing up for the programs and it wasn't working for her. So I painstakingly presented this wonderful overview of the ancestral eating strategy where you're talking about going back to our hunter-gatherer roots and eating the great foods that fueled human evolution, meat, fish, fowl, eggs, vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds. And if you see no grains, because grains and sugars and seed oils do damage to your metabolism and hamper your ability to burn fat. And I went on and had this conversation that probably lasted up to a half an hour. And at the end, she says, well, I really can't live without my bread and my wine. And so I guess I don't think I'm going to try it. And I had an amazing awakening that day to realize that my breath and my energy are so precious that I really need to preserve my enthusiasm and my willingness to help you transform your life to people who are willing to listen and open-minded. And I think I probably jumped the gun there when we started talking a little bit about diet and weight loss frustration and went all out and floored the gas pedal. So fortunately, with a podcast, you're either listening right now, and if you're not listening, then you're not hearing this. But if you're listening, thank you so much for joining me and being open-minded and receptive to this information that I'm presenting. It's a compilation from, you know, hours and hours of study and listening to podcasts and talking to the world's leading experts. So I believe strongly that I'm conveying really helpful and useful information. But not if you're not receptive to it and you think it's baloney, then, you know, go on with your life and we'll part ways and still be friends. Okay, that was my neighborly encounter, life-changing encounter. So for now, I'll stick to podcasting, or hey, you want to send me an email or hit me up next time you see me in an airport, we will get into it if you are ready to go and take off and rise up to the next level of healthy living. Thank you so much for listening. We love to hear from you. We answer and take very seriously all feedback, comments, questions. So go ahead and email podcast@bradventures.com. Dun-da-da, dun-da-da. I'm so excited to introduce you to Paluva. This is a new zero-drop minimalist shoe with the distinctive five-toe design from my main man, Mark Sisson. Paluvas give you the most authentic barefoot style experience, but with sufficient cushioning so you can use them for all manner of daily movement, especially walking and many other fitness and athletic activities. Paluvas are also incredibly stylish, so you get a barefoot shoe that you're not embarrassed to wear around in daily life. It's been so cool to see the popularity of minimalist shoes grow over the recent years, but Paluvas are a step ahead of every other zero-drop wide-box shoe because of the critical feature of individual five-toe articulation, a separate slot for each of your toes. This allows for correct dynamic movement of the foot through the walking or running stride, which is impossible when your toes are encased into a single box, even a wide box. Well, you might know that minimalist shoes have faced controversy in recent years for causing injuries from inappropriate use. So here is the big picture mission. We want to get you walking in Paluvas, living in your Paluvas, going barefoot in your home or other safe areas as often as possible. Go ahead and use your specialized cushiony running shoes or your basketball shoes, work boots, high heels, things that you want to wear when you want to wear them, but wear your Paluvas as much as possible to reawaken the natural functionality of the human foot to stand, walk, run, and perform. Do you want to try a pair? I'm certain that when you put them on and walk around, you are going to quickly realize that these are the most comfortable natural shoes that you've ever worn. They are designed to feel like you're, quote, walking barefoot on a putting green. Please visit Paluva.com, that's P-E-L-U-V-A, and use the code BRADPODCAST and get 10% off your first pair. Paluvas, let your feet be feet. Thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list. And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.